On this fourth Sunday of Easter, we hear this really good news that Jesus is our good shepherd, and that nothing, absolutely nothing, can snatch us out of Jesus' hand, out of God's hand. We hear that the shepherd wants to lead us to the springs of the waters of life. And yet by week four, we also encounter some struggles to continuously believe and trust in the power of the resurrection. There are things in this world that seem to challenge this viewpoint that we would hold. And we see this in our first reading as Dorcas dies. And this nascent community of faith may well have thought, wait a second, this isn't supposed to happen. We know Dorcas is a faithful servant of the Lord. She too believes in the power of the resurrection. How is it that she could fall sick and die? Their faith might be tested here. Do we really believe in the power of the resurrection? Can this be prolonged? Or maybe they believe that Jesus was raised, but maybe that resurrection power doesn't reach each of us as individuals. Maybe it doesn't stretch beyond Christ, they may have thought to themselves. And so they ask for Peter to come to them, not to share with them the power of the resurrection necessarily. We don't get any hints as to what they thought Peter was going to do. But it seems that instead of restoring Dorcas to life, they invited Peter to come and mourn her death with them. So we see as the widows show him the garments, they want to communicate Dorcas's care for them and how much they cared for Dorcas. She's not around, so these garments, these tunics that she had made will have to do. So this is our first challenge. We encounter pain, suffering, and death, and it makes us question, power of the resurrection still at work here, still valid. We also see this another challenge in our gospel reading today, where we can hear Jesus' words and we don't believe what Jesus says to us. We don't believe the works that Christ is doing. And so Jesus is very clear, my sheep know me. They listen to my voice, but you don't know that I am the Messiah. Because you aren't listening to me. You don't follow my words. You don't believe in me. You know, we can struggle to truly believe what Christ says to us. We struggle to recognize Jesus' words as truth, or maybe even the works that Jesus does. We see this, I think, in our first reading again. And after Peter restores Dorcas to life, we hear that this was a great sign and that many came to believe in Joppa. Well, many is not all. There are those who hear this good news, who maybe even could talk to Dorcas herself, and she would be telling them, yes, I was dead, and Jesus, the power of Jesus, brought me back to life. And they would still not be able to believe. We would still struggle to trust that this message was true. So we know these things plague us as well. We too can struggle to recognize Jesus' voice at times. We too can struggle to believe and trust in this one whom God has sent, believe and trust in the power of the resurrection. We too, with 2,000 years of human history behind us, see clearly that pain and suffering and death are continuing. And when these things rear their ugly heads, we too might wonder, even though we've heard already that we shouldn't be surprised by pain and suffering in our lives as Christians, that this isn't an easy road to walk. And yet it can still cause us to doubt ourselves, to question our faith, to wonder if these promised words from Jesus that nothing can snatch us out of Jesus' hand are really true. And we see our loved ones snatched away from us by this power of death. Like, this still seems at work in this world. We do not understand. And of course, the rest of our readings are to tell us the good news, that Jesus' words are not empty. These promises are certain and sure. This is what Peter goes to communicate to those gathered around Dorcas. He wants them to know the good news of the power of the resurrection. He is tending to this flock just as Christ charged him to do last week. There is the feeding and tending that Peter is doing as he speaks these words to Dorcas and tells her to rise, to get up, and she does. We can know, yes, Jesus is still alive and at work, and this power of the resurrection does extend to us. We are invited to experience it as well. Indeed, Peter is also showing us that Jesus' words don't necessarily always come only through Jesus. Last week we remembered that the living word of Christ continues to be shared. We remembered that God continued to be at work in our lives and in the world. But we saw Jesus coming in these rays of light on a Damascus road. We heard Jesus' voice calling to us from a beach, and it was Jesus himself doing this. But today we hear Peter saying to Dorcas, "Tabitha, get up." And we know if Peter was speaking his own words, this was just something Peter wanted to accomplish, it wouldn't do anything. It would be like any other human telling a dead body to get up. That wouldn't work. But Dorcas is a sheep that belongs to Christ. And she hears Christ's voice and Peter's words. And she follows what Peter says. She demonstrates to us that other people can also share Jesus' words with us. That we can hear Christ's voice calling to us through others who are speaking and interacting with us. And it tells us the opposite, that we too can share Christ's voice with others. With the other sheep who can recognize, "Ah, yes, that sounds like my good shepherd. That sounds like Jesus, my Lord. I will follow, I will listen to that voice." The good news that we have. And Dorcas's story points to the truth of the power of the resurrection on this side of eternity. But it's not the whole story. It's why we need our reading from Revelation. Because, of course, Dorcas didn't continue to live. She's not still working in Joppa to make these tunics and garments to this day in this world. No, there's this other perspective we need to have to round everything out properly, and that's heaven's perspective. That's what our author of Revelation is giving to us as we see this host arrayed in white, countless multitude from every peoples and nations, tribes, languages, gathered here before the throne. These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. These are they who have come out of the pain, the suffering, the death. This is what it looks like from God's perspective. And then we can see, these are the ones who are never snatched from Christ's hand. Yes, they may have departed from us. They may not be in this world anymore, but here they are gathered around the throne, and they declare the good news of God's salvation. This vision then is to sustain us in our walk as well. We know this is what is true. That death has been defeated, truly, that the power of the resurrection is certain and sure, that the Good Shepherd continues to lead and care for this flock. They are sheltered by God's love. They no longer hunger or thirst. Jesus leads them to the springs of the waters of life, and every tear is wiped away from their eyes. This is the vision that completes the statement Jesus is making today, as we see the truth of those gathered around the throne, that they cannot be snatched away, that there is no power or force greater than the love God has for us in Jesus Christ. This is good news indeed. And we know these hosts arrayed in white did not clothe themselves. We hear about robes being washed in the blood of the Lamb. And we know that this is on account of Christ that they are standing here today. This washing reminds us of the waters of baptism that would cleanse us and make us new. Or we are joined to Christ and we hear those good news that we are made children of God, beloved. Cleansed by the blood of Christ, we know that our sins are forgiven. And so we can wash our robes in the blood of the Lamb, and they become sparkling white. These garments are far better than any other garments we could ask for or make for ourselves. And this is true for Dorcas as well. All the tunics, all the things she made and stitched together, pale in comparison to this white robe. But Dorcas knew this too already, even when she made them. For it wasn't her acts of charity, her good works, it wasn't all the garments that the widows could lay before Peter's feet that allows her to encounter the power of the resurrection. No, she had encountered that already in Christ. She was already clothed with the robe that Christ would have given to her and has given to her. And that is what allowed her to fashion these clothes and to care for these others around her, that she already knew the infinite and abundant love of God for herself revealed to her in Jesus Christ. And this too is what our ministries understand. This is how we function in this world. Our own quilting group that will make blankets to care for others who may be widows, who may be going through traumatic experiences. That we do so not to show off our good works or to lay all of the quilts at the feet of Christ and say, look what we have done. No, we do this because we have already been clothed anew in Christ, because we know the love of God that has been shared with us, and we must in turn celebrate and share that love with others. Our other ministries are in the same vein, our prayer shawl ministry, our women's circles, one of which is named after Dorcas, no less, and all of our casserole ministry, our social ministries, all the things we participate in, they flow from this love of God that has been shared with us in Jesus Christ. They flow from being arrayed in white already. And that is what has covered us in such a way that we will joyfully participate in all that God is doing, where we will follow our good shepherd because we must. Indeed, this is the one who's still calling out to us today from this table. In this meal, we encounter our good shepherd once more, who longs for us to hear this voice that speaks a word of grace, a word of hope, of mercy. Here we are beckoned to follow our good shepherd to the springs of the waters of life, to have every tear wiped away, to encounter this blood of Christ in this meal that washes away our sins. And as we share in this feast together, we know we are joined to that host arrayed in white. We are joined with that community of faith across time and space. And we too lift our voices to say that salvation belongs to God and to the Lamb, for we have experienced this today. We go forth to celebrate and share the love of Christ because we must go where our shepherd would lead us. And as we go, we have these words of joy on our lips as we see and encounter the fullness of God's promises to us made in Christ. We hear the voice of our risen Lord and Savior, and we must cry out, Alleluia! Christ is risen! Christ is risen indeed! Alleluia! Amen.